Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today on the subject of faithful servanthood. Last week, I read to you some of Robert's Guide for Butlers and Other Household Staff, and his rules for household servants boiled down to unselfishness, thoughtfulness, courtesy, small sacrifices, little ways of saying, my life for yours. The simple helping your wife in to the table with her chair is not an insult. It's not saying the poor person, the poor woman, she's too feeble to pull her own chair in by herself. It's a small way of saying, my life for yours. It's a petty sacrifice, isn't it, that you don't grab your chair first and sit down, but you walk around and help your wife in with her chair. Now, the only reason that I can talk like this is because I have a husband who actually does it. So I know that it is possible. And my husband does it when we're just the two of us alone. We don't have a family there. We rarely have company. He does it not to show off, but as a courtesy, a way of showing that he loves me and of saying, my life is for yours. I am here for your sake. Well, we finished up last week talking about table manners and dressing for the sake of others. These are concepts very strange to many modern ears, I know. But then you get a lot of such concepts on Gateway to Joy, don't you? Concepts strange to modern ears. And they're not mere Elizabeth Elliot opinions. I do always want to link the things that I have to say with scriptural principles. Yet here you are still listening to this woman who comes from another planet. And here you are still writing me such nice letters. Again, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your letters. Yesterday we talked about what God says about servanthood. It is enough for the servant that he be as his master. How do we expect to be treated? What is our response when we're ill-treated? Do we feel rejected? If we're ridiculed, what is our response? Remember, it is enough for the servant that he be as his master. Jesus was ridiculed, rejected, ill-treated, hated, and in the end captured and stripped and flogged and crucified. Let this mind be in you, the Bible says, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this be my attitude as a faithful servant. I'm going to read you a little bit more from Robert's Guide to Butlers and Other Household Servants. He says, if your employers are so pleased with your conduct as to treat you as a friend rather than a servant, do not let their kindness excite your self-conceit so as to make you for a moment forget that you are a servant. Condescension, even to a proverb, produces contempt in inconsiderate minds. Do as you would be done by. To be an agreeable companion in the kitchen without compromising your duty to your patrons in the parlor requires no small portion of good sense and good nature. In a word, you must do as you would be done by. Act for and speak of everybody as if they were present. We hope the culinary student who peruses these pages will be above adopting the common, mean, and base and ever unsuccessful way of holding with the hare and running with the hounds, staying with the rabbit and running with the hounds, of currying favor with fellow servants by flattering them and ridiculing the mistress, when in the kitchen. Would there be any application here to what goes on in a modern office? Currying favor with fellow servants or fellow workers by flattering them and ridiculing the mistress when in the kitchen or ridiculing the boss when you're downstairs in your own office, and then prancing into the boss's office and purring about him and making opportunities to display all the little faults you can find or invent that will tell well against those in the kitchen or in the downstairs office. Depend upon it, if you hear fellow servants speak disrespectfully of a master or mistress with whom they have lived some time, it's a sure sign that they have some sinister scheme against yourself. If they have not been well treated, why have they stayed? There is nothing more detestable than defamation. I have no scruple to rank a slanderer with a murderer or an assassin. Those who assault the reputation of their benefactors and rob you of that which naught enriches them, which of course is your reputation. When a man robs you of your reputation, he robs you of something which can never do him any good and impoverishes you. They would destroy your life if they could do it with equal impunity. If you hope to gain the esteem and respect of others and the approbation of your own heart, be respectful and faithful to your superiors, obliging and good-natured to your fellow servants, and charitable to all. There may be someone listening to me who has a really dreadful boss, somebody that nobody can get along with, somebody who hardly ever smiles, never calls you by your name, hasn't the least idea what you're doing, really, and is just unapproachable. Try to think of that person in the person of Christ. If that were Jesus Christ, how would you treat him or her? Would you walk in with a smile, with a gracious attitude, with an openness to do what is called for next? Maybe that person is just eaten up inside with bitterness, resentment, perhaps with sorrow. Maybe his wife just left him. Who knows what that person may be suffering? Pray that God will show you ways in which you can cheer that person. A smile is a beginning, isn't it? In James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, here is my backup passage to the things which I've been saying. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Reminds me of what Amy Carmichael wrote, that a cup brim full of sweetness can never spill so much as one drop of bitter water, no matter how suddenly jarred. Shall I repeat that? A cup brim full of sweetness cannot spill so much as one drop of bitter water, no matter how suddenly jarred. I'm convicted by these words, probably more severely than any other words in the Bible, because I know that my tongue is a great evil. It's like a fire. And I have indeed praised the Lord with this tongue, and I have criticized and defamed others with this same tongue. I need your prayers. I feel just like Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and recognized the standard of holiness by which he was to be judged. He said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And it took fire from the altar to cleanse those lips. May God purify us. Make us faithful servants, respectful, obedient, humble, kind, thoughtful, for His glory.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.